Enter it now.
Trending now.
Here's what's trending from the iHeart Sports Network, presented by BioNTech and Pfizer. San Diego State getting ready to play Boise State this Saturday. You can hear that coverage right here on Extra with pregame starting at 6 and tip right after 6:30. You can get more on SX Hoops tonight on the Brian Dutcher Show, hosted by John Schaefer, coming up at 6 right here on Extra. In NBA news, Bulls guard Lonzo Ball has opted for knee surgery and will miss the next 6 to 8 weeks. And in NFL news, Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson has cleared the concussion protocol and will play this weekend against the Titans in the AFC Divisional Round playoff. Come rain or shine, high winds or mild breezes, blue skies or gray, it's a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19, sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer.
Earlier on the Darren Smith Show.
Maybe some concern that they'd be a little rusty coming in and might be a bunch of strikeouts and teams already rolling. So there was determination that, didn't need to, push it at that point. But I mean, if you did want to play, if you did want to come back for like game 6 or game 7, if it gets to that, I don't think there is anything ruling that out, but it just sounds like right now he's not going to play.
Wouldn't that be a story? Be amazing. Dennis, you hop on a plane, go down to the Dominican Republic for a couple of days. What do you think?
Yeah, might as well. Maybe do some surveys of the Dominican fan base as well, see what they think, how things are going, since surveys are apparently all we do these days.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now, here's Darren and Marty.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
All righty, hour number 3. It is Extra 1360. And just to clean that up, because I sort of sprung that on everybody in the middle of the Dennis Lynn interview, I was listening to John and Jim, and they were wondering, or they had a caller who said, hey, can't the Padres prevent Tatis from playing winter ball? That was just the other day. I did ask, and the person I asked with the organization said, I don't know this 100% for sure. I don't think there's anything, though, that we could do. And this is somebody who would know if it was talked about inside of the organization. Said, I don't think there's anything we could do. If he wanted to play winter ball, I think that Tatis Jr. could play winter ball. Because that was a good question, and one I was wondering myself. So I asked somebody who should know, who said, I haven't gone over every page of this, but I don't think we could do much to stop him. At any rate, NFL division round upcoming this weekend, really good matchups. Hopefully it's a little bit more exciting than Super Wild Card Weekend, which left a little to be desired. Certainly if you're a fan of one of the teams that advanced, or if you had some gambling interest in all of this, you were fine that there wasn't a ton of drama, but for the casual observer, but for one game in the middle of the day on Sunday, most of these were a bit snoozy. Let's say hello to Adam Teicher. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN. You can find him at ESPN.com. As Marty said a little bit earlier, and I think we'd have consensus on this, Chiefs hosting the Bills, final game of the weekend, and should be great. Adam, good to talk with you again. Darren Smith in San Diego, appreciate your time.
Absolutely, Darren. How are you doing today?
I am great. Probably not a big surprise. It didn't seem like the Chiefs really, after a sluggish first quarter, really had to even kick it into a higher gear. Pretty much what you would have expected against Pittsburgh, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs played the Steelers late in the season, and the game was similar in terms of how the Chiefs handled the Steelers. I mean, it was they won, I think it was 36-10. They led, I think it was 23-0 then at halftime. So, yeah, I mean, the only real surprise in that game was that it took the Chiefs, a quarter and a half to kind of figure everything out and get into gear. But, if they're going to score a touchdown on 6 straight possessions, you can excuse a team if they're not going to score for a quarter and a half, because they're still going to score enough to win, right?
Yeah, exactly. And when the quarterback for the team that's coming into town basically laughs, is like, yeah, we don't have much of a chance here. I'm sure that was a little bit of reverse psychological warfare, but everybody who's been around the league long enough to know, Roethlisberger probably being pretty honest about the Steelers' chances in that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they came in here with nothing to lose. The Steelers did, and played like it for a little while. But you knew that once the Chiefs, if they would get things into gear, the Steelers had no way of keeping up.
All right, different weight class upcoming this weekend. You talked about scoring consecutively. I mean, like what Buffalo did against New England. I mean, You never see a Buffalo, or you never see a New England Bill Belichick coach team basically lie down in the middle of a playoff game, and that's what happened here. These two teams played one another during the regular season, Adam. What would you tell us the impact, if any, early on the season, game five for both sides, Buffalo won 38-20 against Kansas City?
Yeah, it was a strange game. I mean, the Bills, handed it to them, no doubt. But, you know, if you were to go through that game, which I did afterwards on video, and you maybe declare a winner and a loser, you know, which team won on this particular play, you know, it was strangely, you would have said that maybe the Chiefs won somewhere close, very close to half of the plays. I mean, it's not like the Bills dominated the game on every play, but when you look at the big plays, the long plays for big yardage and turnovers and penalties that cost their team a big play, the Bills had the clear edge, and it was overwhelming. I mean, every big play the Bills got, every turnover the Chiefs got, or the Bills got, every penalty that prevented a big play was on the Chiefs. So it was just kind of a weird game in that respect. I don't recall seeing any quite like that. So, so it was just a strange game, and it was a while ago now. It was middle of October, so about 3 months ago, and the Chiefs had some key defensive players out. Chris Jones did not play. Their pass rusher didn't play, and one of their starting cornerbacks, Charvarius Ward, didn't play. Melvin Ingram, who, by the way, had a great year for the Chiefs after he joined up about midseason after they picked him up from the Steelers in a trade. He had a great season, though the stats don't show it. He wasn't even with the Chiefs at the time. So, the Chiefs just had a lot of guys who, for one reason or another, weren't playing well defensively back then, but are playing a lot better now. So I feel like on that side of the ball, when the Bills have the ball, things are going to be completely different. But you know, the Bills did a really nice job that day of really making the Chiefs go the long field and not getting any big plays. The Chiefs had one play of over 20 yards. And it was like, I think, 24 yards. And so the Bills did a real nice job of just basically begging the Chiefs to run the ball and be patient and go down the field. And the Chiefs couldn't do that very often. So Chiefs going to have to do things differently, assuming the Bills take up a similar strategy on Sunday night. The Bills didn't blitz or hardly blitzed at all. They were just content to let the Chiefs take some short gains and try to work their way down the field that way, and the Chiefs couldn't do it. So the Chiefs going to have to be better at that on Sunday night this time around, or it could be another long day for them.
We're talking to Adam Teicher. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs for ESPN. You can find a lot of Adam's work there at ESPN.com. That was a rematch from the regular season 2021. Also, fans will remember that this was a rematch from the AFC Championship game last year. You know, none of us are good at predicting the future, right? Adam, especially in the NFL, it's so hard to know who's going to be around in a couple of years. Somebody who's the flavor of the day, it falls off a cliff in this league more often than in other leagues. But that said, that this is now the second consecutive season in the postseason that we're seeing these two teams face. I remember earlier this year somebody saying it felt like watching Burrow and Justin Herbert, like you were watching something similar to like the class of 83, right? Like a Montana and an Elway type situation. Anything, you know, from a Kansas City standpoint, you know, with Brady in a different league now, just thinking that, you know, for the foreseeable future, these are two really, really good quarterbacks. It seems like they're both well-coached teams. You know, not an acrimonious rivalry per se, but, you know, that this is something here between Buffalo and Kansas City last year, this year, and probably for years to come.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it has the makings for that. I mean, I think both teams are built for the long haul. I don't think the Bills certainly are going anywhere anytime soon. They're not going back to what they were for a long time, and the Chiefs, I don't think will either. I mean, they're not going to go back and disappear either. So I think both teams will be up there. But I'll say this: all those years that the Patriots were dominating the AFC, for that 20-year period where they went to the Super Bowl, it seems like just about every other year, there were no great teams that really challenged them over that time. I mean, the Steelers had a couple good teams, and the Baltimore had a couple good teams, and Denver had a couple good teams. But other than that, I mean, I think the AFC just kind of was in a period of dormancy, and so it was easy for the Patriots to kind of stay on top of the league. I don't see that in the AFC. I don't see two teams or one team dominating this thing over the next several years. I mean, you really have to respect and like what the Bengals are doing in Cincinnati, and I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. And I still feel the Chargers underachieve. I've thought this for years now. The Chargers underachieve relative to what their talent is. And now they've got a great quarterback, young quarterback who's going to be around for a long time, playing really well. All they got to do is get that coach to quit going for it on fourth down all the time. He gives me a headache with that stuff. But, other than that, I think the Chargers are a team you could throw into that mix as well. So I just think it's going to be harder on the Chiefs and Bills than it was, say, on the Patriots all those years, because I think the AFC is deeper and they're going to have more realistic challengers than the Patriots did.
A friend of mine who follows the Chiefs on a regular basis, Adam, tells me that Tyreek Hill has had a disappointing season. I check the statistics. I see 111 receptions. I see 1,200 yards. I say, I don't know. What's the problem here? You tell us,
yeah.
Tyreek Hill, how he's been received in Kansas City or the production level there.
Yeah, it's been a different kind of season for him, but it's been a different kind of season for Mahomes and a lot of the Chiefs. I mean, it has. I mean, they've had to operate in different way this year. I mean, this is not the bombs away, two or three, four big, huge pass plays every week. I mean, it's not. The Chiefs have had to learn to some extent to do without that in a lot of games. So last week's game against Pittsburgh was kind of an exception. They've had some others this year, but they've had to do without those kinds of plays. And Hill's been a guy who's been affected. I mean, he's doubled a lot, and teams have just refused to let him get open deep. And so he's had to turn in kind of to a possession receiver. You know, he's had to be one of those guys who takes the underneath stuff and makes something happen that way. So I think he's done a nice job of sort of morphing his career. I don't think it's been disappointing in any regard. I think he's kind of showed another side to himself. And I have asked around the league to some people I know about Tyreek Hill and just sort of saying, hey, are you seeing some slippage in his game? Are you seeing the signs that he's starting that decline? And it's been unanimous. People say no, they don't feel that way. They feel he's more a victim of circumstance than anything else. And he's had more trouble this year with drop passes than he's had in the past, and that's one thing people have noticed. But as far as when he catches the ball, he's still a dynamic player, and I know that opponents are looking at him that way, that they're living fear on a lot of snaps that he's going to go and go get another big play. So I really would argue strongly with that notion that he's had a disappointing year. No, not at all.
Yeah, I would take that. I think most teams would take a disappointing Tyreek Hill if this is what you're going to get production-wise. Put it into your mix. It's amazing. It's been fun to watch. Adam Teicher joining us on Extra 1360. Adam, we've all seen, and I think one of the things that people really like about Patrick Mahomes is his ability to ad-lib, his ability to contort, maybe to look a little bit different structurally. Now heading into another season with Patrick Mahomes there, the Chiefs are okay with all of this, right? I mean, in terms of it not looking like Tom Brady, it looking a little bit different athletically, all the things that we love, those are things that the organization still thinks it, they're good with Patrick Mahomes. They're not worried about mechanics ever getting out of whack, things along those lines. They're comfortable with what they're getting from the quarterback.
No question they are. They do every once in a while. His mechanics do get out of whack. He seems to be kind of prone to that, and they have to work with him. And that's something he's probably going to have to work on his whole career, because he does kind of fall back into some old habits at times. So that is an issue. But as far as what they're getting from him, I mean, the Chiefs have, it's one thing for him to have bad mechanics on a play. I mean, they'll correct that or try to correct that. I mean, that's one thing, but they don't want to take away what makes him Pat Mahomes. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't want to turn him into a robot who's a system quarterback and is just going to do what the coaches tell him to do. I mean, they feel like that's one of his strengths, is his ability to make something out of every play. And certainly he's had to learn this year to fold the, you know, fold his cards once in a while, because it's just not there. And that's a lesson he had to learn sort of the hard way, you know, because things have been more difficult for him this year. But in terms of taking away his, you know, his creativity and those kinds of things, the Chiefs aren't interested in that. They want him to be that guy for the rest of his career, because that's part of what makes him who he is.
Yeah, it felt like that was much more an issue at 2-3 or 3-4 than it was certainly as the season went on. Adam, last thing, what is Kansas City worried about? Buffalo's a really, really good team, well-rounded. They figured out how to run the ball a little bit, especially in the final quarter of the season. But if I were there this week, if I were hanging around the Chiefs, what am I hearing that they're most concerned with Buffalo headed into town?
Well, it's kind of interesting, but defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo was talking about it today, that they've talked this week about how to tackle Josh Allen. And you know, he said, we've never probably talked about how to tackle a quarterback, but he's been a real problem for the Chiefs when he's running the ball. He was the Bills' leading rusher in that game earlier this season when they played the Chiefs. He was the Bills' leading rusher with almost 100 yards in the AFC Championship game last year. He was the Bills' leading rusher in the regular season when they played the Chiefs last year. They've had a real problem with him leaking out and making some plays out of, you know, plays that it looked like there was nothing there with his running. So they've talked about staying disciplined with their pass rush, and when he leaks out, getting a bunch of guys around him, because you know, he's a big, strong guy who uses his stiff arm real well and can be tough for one guy to bring down. So, you know, the Chiefs are concerned about a lot of things with this Bills team, but I think Josh Allen's running is up very high on the list, because he has really hurt the Chiefs that way before.
And it looks like weather's going to be okay this weekend?
I'm sorry, who?
Looks like the weather conditions don't look like it's going to be like what we see in Green Bay at all, so it looks like we'll have a pretty clean game.
No. Supposed to be a decent January day in Kansas City on Sunday, so, you know, the game does start after sundown, so it'll cool off some, but it'll be fine, yeah. You know, the Chiefs have had a couple weather games this year, but not doesn't look like this one.
Looking forward to it. Adam, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for squeezing us in.
Hey, anytime, Darren.
Thank you. Adam Teicher, everybody. ESPN.com covers the Kansas City Chiefs. That game, the finale of the weekend. It's interesting to look. Chiefs by 1.5 at home against Buffalo. Just 1.5. The closest game of the weekend, according to the odds makers, which, as we all know, is impacted by betting behavior, not so much predictive analysis. But 1.5, that's the closest. Kansas City at home, 1.5 against Buffalo, rematch AFC championship game from last year that the Chiefs pretty much led from start to finish. I don't think they were ever threatened. Looked at it this morning. Don't think it ever got within a score late, or you felt like Kansas City was in any serious trouble. Of course, now they also have to deal with something off the field. One of their players got arrested for something idiotic. But at home, 1.5, two quarterbacks. One a little bit more like a fullback having to try to take him down. Isn't that interesting? I don't know that I've ever heard that either, outside of like Lamar Jackson or somebody who, you know, who's a burner, who you're like, okay, let's anticipate what this is going to look like for us defensively. In terms of how you tackle a quarterback, that's not one you hear every day.
Being your leading rusher, too, in the last time they played.
Yeah, I think they figured out how to give the ball more to Devin Singletary. Mm-hmm. You know, Devin Singletary's had a lot of big games over the last couple of weeks.
This is going to be interesting.
I know this purely through fantasy.
Oh, really? No, but I thought what he said about the AFC, about how – do you remember when Mahomes wins his first Super Bowl? And immediately then the comparison was, you know, when is he going to break Tom Brady's record? Because it looked like the Chiefs were going to be this dominant force in the AFC for years to come. And there is no quarterback quite like Patrick Mahomes. And look how explosive, you know, that passing game is. And then you have Adam, like, he's like, it's going to be so different for the Chiefs for him to repeat. You know, it's like when it was Tom Brady during his heyday, early on, it was all about either the Colts or the Patriots. But now when he brings it up with the number of not just great young quarterbacks in the AFC, and now that you know that how good Josh Allen is, I mean, it's going to be tough for any team to repeat back-to-back in the AFC.
Yeah, these two have a little bit of a head start.
Yeah.
On Burrow and Mahomes, because different draft class, right? I mean, they've the second year for both of them.
Yes.
I don't put Tannehill out there.
Really? You're not sold on Tannehill yet? You don't see him as one of the great, even though he's the number one seed, you're not. I know you're not on Tannehill. But you can talk, listen, you can talk about.
He's good for what they ask him to do, but in terms of what this league looks like in the next 5-7 years,
oh, yeah.
These two guys, you'd feel safe. Nobody can predict this league in particular. But these two, Burrow and Herbert probably, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, you would, you would think.
You said it. It's not Brady Manning.
No.
But these two have a little bit, you know, that they're, you have to have a track record. You have to have a little bit of history.
Who was the third team?
Herbert doesn't have any history.
No.
So it's
no.
hard to put him in this group.
Right. He's weighed down by the organization, but his talent is undeniable. They're always going to have a chance, you would think. You have a chance when you have a quarterback, and they have a great quarterback.
Yeah. No, again, there are internal and external forces working against the organization.
There are.
As
there
he is. Said, I mean, the coach's decisions give Adam Teicher a headache.
I know.
Boy, people are so down on this guy.
I know.
Yeah.
So.
All right, coming up, we'll get some TV listings in here. Got some final thoughts, got some things to get to. Plus, we need to play some of the Laker press.
An iHeart Radio station. Trending now.
Here's what's trending from the iHeart Sports Network, presented by DraftKings. The San Diego State basketball team gets ready for the first game after coming off of COVID pause this Saturday against Boise State. Coverage starts at 6 with tips slightly after 6:30. If you want to find out how they're getting ready for that game, you can tune in tonight to the Brian Dutcher Coaches Show starting at 6, hosted by John Schaefer. In NBA news, LeBron James has passed Steph Curry to take the lead among all NBA players in All-Star voting. And Lonzo Ball, Bulls guard, has opted for knee surgery, and he will be out 6 to 8 weeks. In baseball news, Major League Baseball has approved robot umpires at home plate in AAA for 2022, which means they are one step away from making a Major League Baseball debut. Download the DraftKings app and use code SPORTS to get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com.
I don't know, there's a lot of Laker fans who listen to shows like this. We're the Laker affiliate here in San Diego, but I find it hilarious when there's turmoil there. I like laughing at the Lakers. So does Marty. She's a Clippers fan.
Lifelong Clippers fan.
Throwing about fair play, something like that.
That was a remark. Did you see? It's just dysfunction. That's just what comes to mind when you watch the Lakers as of late.
Yeah, even Plaschke's in on the action.
It's over.
Shame on the Lakers. Shame on them for turning a magical championship season into an unabated clown show. Hold on a second. Let's calm down, Bill. Who thought that this was going to be? Is he saying magical championship? What magical championship season was he talking about? From 2 years ago in the bubble?
The bubble.
What is he talking about? That was 2 years ago. In Laker life, that's an eternity. Shame on the Lakers. Shame on them for spending the last 15 months deconstructing their rebuild credibility and allowing themselves to crumble back into the same old mess. Magic Johnson ripping them from the cheap seats. Kurt Rambis sticking his nose where it doesn't belong. A coach getting publicly skewered and probably fired. Lofty banners obscured by dirty laundry.
Was Rob Pelinka the executive of the year a few years ago?
Probably.
In the bubble?
Yeah.
I think it all went downhill when they changed to crypto. Well, no, the beginning of it was bad before
that. All I know is those Knicks tickets on the secondary market for February 5th, they're plummeting. Taking that building over. You're going to hear bing bong over and over and over again. Okay. Going to that game. Watch out, world. We're on our way. Taking over that joint. Blew a 15-point lead last night. So, again, it brings me some level of joy that they're crumbling, bursting at the seams. I enjoy this sort of stuff. Russell Westbrook was benched last night. Team blew a 15-point lead. What should we play? We have 3 sound bites. We have the coach. We have 2 from LeBron, who's the de facto coach and general manager.
Now, the one from Frank Vogel, how long is that? Is that the long one? Because I know he went on and on, but he was asked specifically about why he benched him in the end.
Okay.
Have you heard this?
I don't think so.
Frank, you opted to go with Russ on the bench at the end of the game. What were you looking for there? What was the thinking behind that choice?
Yeah, playing the guys I thought were going to win the game.
Yeah. By the way, I think I recognize that voice in the background.
That sounds like Craig Huebner, who has the Padres PR guy, who has experience with people being fired.
Yeah, former Padres media relations manager Craig Huebner has left the Padres just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. He's now running the show for the Lakers.
Yeah,
They're like, hey, we need somebody who knows how to manage a crisis.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That was Craig in the background, wasn't it? Saying next question?
Yeah, I believe it was.
That was funny.
That'd be the guy. He got there just in the nick of time.
To LeBron's credit, I suppose. He did show up post-game, was asked a bunch of questions. Can we skip ahead to the Westbrook stuff? Yeah, no, the Vogel stuff. Whether they do or don't fire their coach, it's L.A. But he was asked specifically, and LeBron's had some cryptic moments this season. He's a cryptic guy. He's been cryptic when things have been good with Kyrie Irving. He always is very passive-aggressive on social media. It's kind of annoying. But he was asked directly about Russell Westbrook not playing in the final couple of minutes of this disaster.
Yeah, LeBron, a close game. Russ ended it on the bench. I was curious if you had had a reaction to that. I don't think we've seen that in a close game this year. And how was Russ after the game? Is that the sort of thing that bothers him?
Have you followed Russ throughout his career?
Not as closely as you have, probably.
Okay. Have you followed Russ throughout this season? Yeah. Would you think that would bother Russ not being in the late game?
I would imagine.
Okay. Good answer.
Can I quote me on that?
I mean, yeah, you should quote yourself. Yeah. You guys want to quote us all the time, quote yourself. All right. Thank you. I'm going to the movies with my wife, man. I got to go.
Okay, what I'm movie? Really dead. I'm into this a lot. I'm going to go to the movies. I'm out of here. I love that. Let me just turn this around you, try to make you feel uncomfortable in this situation here, because I don't know what to say. Pretty uncomfortable moment there, though, wouldn't you agree? I mean, LeBron's been asked a billion different questions in his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that sort of stumps him after blowing a 15-point lead and losing 111-104. But today, I'm sure the obvious question.
It is what it is.
How was the movie?
It is what it is.
What'd you go see?
And what movie was it?
Yeah.
Surprising to say, I'm going home to watch Boba Fett episode 4 with my wife.
You're not really going to the movies at 10:30 at night, you think? LeBron James go to the movies? No way.
Your mic's not on.
I wouldn't say it.
Probably, but it's probably a movie theater that's built into his house.
Right, right. Exactly. The wing, in one of the wings.
Yeah, so he's going to the movie wing in
his
house.
So when he says I'm going to the movies, he means he's moving into the different part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that must be nice. Well, anyway, it's delightful if you revel in watching this team completely unravel like this.
You think it's bad now? Their next game, they play the lowly 8-win Magic. Can you imagine if they lose that game?
Yeah. I mean, it's compelling, but the Lakers are a team. I mean, you want them to be good, right? You want them to be a force. It's good for the sport.
They're like the Cowboys, though. Yeah. I think there's a lot of us there are a lot of people who love watching the Cowboys because they like watching Dallas because they're Dallas Cowboys fans. And there's a lot of people who like watching them because they like watching them implode the way they did on Sunday. And I think the same standard applies to the Lakers too.
You want them to be good up to a point.
Right. Like I'll watch them into the playoffs, but I will enjoy watching them eventually lose a playoff series. Now, whether they make a playoff series, anybody's guess. 858, we'll wrap it up here. A couple of texts. If the MLB lockout goes into spring training, do you guys think it could significantly hinder Bob Melvin in his first year? It's almost an entirely new coaching staff that has no contact with the players. They could potentially miss valuable time to find the right chemistry to start the season. I would tell you this. I feel much more comfortable with Bob Melvin at the helm. Remember 2 years ago when the pandemic first arrived? The manager was some rookie who had only managed games in his mind named Jace Tingler.
Yeah, that got a lot of play.
And he was a candidate for Rookie of the Year. So I don't worry about that. I don't worry about that. 619 number, if you think about it, talking about Fernando Tatis Jr. in winter ball, it might say more about his shoulder if he doesn't play than if he does. If he doesn't, that means his shoulder really isn't where it should be. If he plays, maybe it's something we shouldn't worry about. Interesting. Hadn't considered that. Tonight on TV, Suns and Mavs, 4:30. Aussie Open, 6 p.m. ESPN2.
Mm-hmm.
Pacers and Warriors tonight, 7 o'clock on Turner. The Proposal, 8 p.m. on Lifetime.
I love this movie.
What's it about?
This is about, listen, this is with Sandra Bullock and oh, what's his name?
Ryan Reynolds
and Betty White. She's a boss in a publishing company. They're just like a mean boss, really, really bossy, very bossy. And
she's Canadian and doesn't have a green card or something like that.
He's American, right? And so she has to, and she's going to be deported. And so they have to act like they're getting married. They go to Alaska, meet his family, where of course they really do fall in love and blah, 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 blah.
You like this movie?
I love
this movie. You like romantic comedies? I am
shocked. This movie is hilarious though, because it's number one. Sandra Bullock is great in everything. It's just very, very funny.
Everything?
Everything. There's not been one movie she's been in that I have not enjoyed.
Speed?
Not one. Love Speed.
Speed 2.
I saw Speed 2 even.
And?
You liked Speed 2?
I did. Well, it didn't have Keanu Reeves. It wasn't the same.
But you said everything was Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. Yeah. Wait. That's the wrong Sandra. No. Anyways, Miss Congeniality 1 and 2.
What about Speed 2?
I saw Speed 2. She's good. I like her.
You said everything with her is good.
Yeah.
Sticking with that?
Mostly.
The Gnat?
Did I see The Gnat? I didn't see The Gnat.
Blindside was good.
Yeah.
She was in a movie with Keanu Reeves. No. She was in a movie with Matthew McConaughey that was really good.
Oh, Time to Kill.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Okay.
Yes.
Good movie.
Yes.
All right. Well, Marty suggests you watch that tonight.
Mm-hmm. It's just great.
Plus, Go Big Show. Bulls, yeah. Balls, and Falls. From Leaping Wild Bulls to Parker Skating. And a very painful and unique talent, six more amazing competitors stretch the bounds of what's possible in an attempt to reach the semis. Mm-hmm. Never heard of this before.
I know.
Jason Bateman on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
There you go.
Probably not going to stick around for
But you could record it.
They're all on YouTube now.
Oh.
Why do I have to stay up and watch this stuff anymore?
Okay, fine. Never mind.
Why do people need to listen to this? You just find it on
demand
later.
Okay, hey, don't say that. Listen, we appreciate all of you who listen live in real time. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate
Love
it.
Love you.
And number one, because you contribute on the Twitter.
Yes.
You contribute on the text line, which you appreciate. So we do. Listen, you can go back and listen on demand anytime, but we also greatly value those who listen.
Exactly right.
In real time with us.
760 number. LeBron went home to watch Space Jam 2 so he could know that there's something indeed worse than the Lakers. All right.
1-800-450-LEAK. Warning.
Roger, ignition engaged.
The countdown is on.
3, 2, 1. Come on.
It's time for The Fusion.
All right. John Schaefer, Jim Russell. Coming up here at the top of the hour to be followed by the Brian Dutcher Coaches Show. Dutch going to be in studio or he calling in tonight?
He's going to call in tonight. But yeah, looking forward to catching up with him. I heard you guys earlier today. We're going to spend a full hour together. We're going to get to know each other tonight.
So what are the chances that the conference, though, having to satisfy a certain amount of TV requests, somehow makes it a little bit uncomfortable for some teams in the conference later in the season?
I think the chances are pretty high. I think San Diego State is like the marquee television property for men's basketball for the Mountain West. In all likelihood, is going to play close to the full allotment of conference games, if possible, right? I mean, they're not going to put them in a position where they got to play 4 games in 5 days, but if they have to play 3 games in 5 days like they're doing this week, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, I think we'll see that a couple of times. And I think they're going to do most everything in their power to put San Diego State in a position to play all 18 of the conference games. And if it's not 18, I think it's going to be 17. But I'd be very surprised if it was a number less than that, unless there's more stoppages. If other teams can't play, they're not going to put San Diego State in a situation that's ridiculous. But I think they're going to try really hard to make San Diego State play 18 conference games.
Yeah. And now, I love Brian Dutcher.
I like how you preface it with that.
At a time like this, I do wonder, though, what a coach with the personality of, let's say, Jim Calhoun, what he would be saying about this potential for jamming up the end of the season schedule with a bunch of games that probably don't help you at all.
Well, that's a great point.
Hates it.
What's that?
He's going to hate it.
I mean, Dutch talked about it, you know, the fact that they could play 4 of their last 5 games on the road. Like, that's a possibility.
Because you still have to make up 2 games that you lost that were road games.
Exactly. So they could finish. And
including
if you look
at Fresno, too, so that's three.
Right, and Wyoming. So, like, you might finish with a really daunting schedule where you could put yourself in a position where...
Well, it was Wyoming, New Mexico last week, and then it was Fresno earlier this year, right?
That's correct.
So those three.
So, that, you know, that could be a challenging end to a season where you might put yourself in a position where you're into the tournament. Like, let's say over the next month they do enough work to put themselves, quote-unquote, in, but then two or three games get rescheduled, and you could put yourself on the wrong side of the bubble by playing those games. Same thing happened last year. The league added games. It might have cost teams an opportunity to get to the NCAA tournament. Colorado State had to play extra games. Boise State had to play extra games. San Diego State had to play in Vegas to win the conference title last year. If they didn't play that game, they were conference champions. They gave them an additional game. They needed to win it, and they won it. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, look at it this way, guys. It's January 22nd, Saturday. They've played 13 games. And it's, I mean,
and only
the season
11
ends.
More currently are scheduled, which means they're going to play
more. They're going to play
more.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. They've played three games in the last 35 days, and they'll play three games in 5 days.
All right. Enough of this nonsense. I just got followed by an account on Twitter.
John and Jim?
John and Jim, GYM.
No, you didn't.
Has started.
Oh, no.
Fake John and Jim.
A fake John and Jim account spelled GYM. Now, I'm not.
That's how
this.
You know you made it.
That is how you know you made it.
Is
John
that you?
And Jim.
Not me.
I'm pointing at Jim. That's his new burner.
It only appears to be following me at this point.
Wow.
The search this person.
And
up.
Marty.
Follow them, Jim.
This person just started following two people. I was the first. Marty was the second.
And what's that headshot? Like, what's that avatar?
It's Mr. Rogers.
Interesting. What? Yeah. Interesting.
John and Jim, JYM.
So wait, they're following you, but they're not following us.
Not yet.
Right. Okay.
Well, maybe they don't know the rule that you guys will follow them back.
Exactly.
Now, will you guys follow John and Jim back?
Definitely.
Will John and Jim follow John and Jim?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
And let's screenshot that. Tweet
now, John and Jim, I'm expecting things here. I'm always open-minded about a good fake Twitter account.
Yeah, me too. Like, I want it to be like a good.
But bring it. Don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't just create it and just leave it there to do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, there's some good fake accounts out there.
Please make fun of us. I think it could be
what
fun.
What was that picture you put out last night? You're like, John and Jim,
that
these guys.
That was so funny.
What about you guys?
That's us.
That's us, yeah. Which one's John? Which one's me?
I think it's rather obvious.
Of
John's
course.
Hair is darker than yours.
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, John has more of like.
See, I always wear a hat these days.
Yeah,
John and Jim is now following.
Gray.
He's now following me.
He's not following me.
I do have a lot of gray. I mean,
John and Jim follow John and Jim?
John and Jim. There we go. Look at John and Jim. Boom.
John and Jim, by the end of the day, is going to have more followers than John and Jim, if I'm guessing.
They have one follower. Us. John and Jim.
I like it.
Because you guys follow back.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
John and GYM.
Everyone go out there and follow at John and GYM.
Mr. Rogers.
That's so good.
Oh, no. He's following 12.
Wow.
Well, right. Hold on.
Well, again, I think there's potential here, but who knows who's behind this?
I have an idea of who it could be.
Who?
So one person was just in here working like a dog for the last 3 hours. She just left.
Marty.
I haven't seen her for
Marty
the last
would probably month. Follow herself first.
Probably.
I doubt it's Marty. I don't
Marty
see Marty.
Marty and fake burner accounts?
No way.
Marty definitely has a burner.
You know it. You know
it.
Yeah, 100%. She can say she doesn't, but we all know she does. Because she needs to get, search out other people.
She does. She doesn't want anybody knowing that she's stalking them out there.
Marty.
You don't want to make a mistake and, like, you accidentally like somebody's tweet that you privately hate.
Marty works in the dark. She works in silence.
The dark arts.
Yes.
Interesting.
Marty's all about the dark
she's
arts.
She's a ninja.
She's very much so. All right, what's coming up today? Anything?
We've got Adam Seiko will join the show, Aztecs guard. We're going to replay some of the sounds you had with Dennis Lynn in the first block.
Really? D. Lynn really into the Padre fan service.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes.
It's like, Dennis, love it, man.
Yeah. I tried to encourage him to go down to Dominican Republic. By the way, I answered your guys' question for you. I asked around with the Padres. I've been told by somebody who should know but wouldn't swear this to the grave that there's nothing the team could do if Tatis wanted to play winter ball.
Okay. That's awesome. That's good to know.
Because a lot of people were asking, how'd the team tell him no? It's like, I don't think the team
do they have the
say
right
anything
to say
to
that?
Him right now.
Yeah, this person's like, I really don't think so. I wouldn't take it to my grave, but I haven't read every page of the contract, but I don't think we can.
There's the lead.
There we go.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It is. We spent a lot of time on that,
13
actually.
13 more years now? So have opportunities to play winter ball?
13 more winter balls.
13 more years. We're talking about, should Tatis play winter ball? You ready for that?
It's true.
You enjoying the Laker class?
The what?
Laker collapse.
Oh, I love it.
I know you do.
As he love wears it. His Westbrook sitting on the bench.
LeBron, everybody's sniping.
Oh, Frank Vogel.
So good.
Watch your back.
Hey, coming up later, the flagship for the Lakers. Tune in.
Yeah.
Carry those games. John and Jim.